This week on the Music Biz Weekly, do your fans see you as a crybaby or a hero? We look at Steve Lukather and Amanda Palmer and compare.
You're listening to the Music Biz Weekly Podcast, your go-to resource for music marketing advice, music industry news, and discussion on the latest technologies in the digital music marketplace. And now, welcome your host, Michael Brandbold from Michael Brandbold Marketing and Brian Thompson from Thorny Bleeder. Take it away, boys.
Go!
Hey everyone, welcome back to another episode of the Music Biz Weekly. This is episode number 131. How the hell are you? I'm Brian from Thorny Bleeder, and Michael Brandvold joins me once again. How are you?
Still here. Still on Baby
Still
Watch.
Still here. Still on Baby Watch 13. Dum, dum, dum.
Maybe by the time we post this, there'll be a baby, but when we're recording this, there isn't yet.
Well, I was about to post to your timeline on Tuesday saying, hey, it's new release Tuesday. What's going on?
Nothing. Nothing was released.
You even pre-ordered like 9 months in advance.
Exactly. street date's getting pushed back.
Yeah. Oh, well.
Remember when they used to actually push street dates back? Nowadays, it's they run them forward really quick because things leak.
Exactly. So thanks for all your comments and stuff rolling in, you guys. There's been a lot of great stuff coming in lately, and I get the feeling that you guys like to talk about, or you like us to talk about, to answer your questions. Those seem to really be popular episodes.
Yeah.
So, by all means, send us a tweet or an email or a Facebook post or leave a comment wherever you're watching or listening to this, because we would love to answer your question. So, Michael, you had a thing that you wanted to talk about today.
Yeah, it was a Facebook post that I saw yesterday or the day before, and it seems like in the last few weeks the trend has been artists whining. I guess artists are always whining if you think about it, but
the ones that whine whine a lot.
Yeah,
and the people that don't whine, they're just out there making shit happen is what I noticed. The ones that aren't whining are the ones that are just like, oh, that's the way it is, and then they just go and like kick ass.
Well, and it seems like the whining is extra whiny and extra bitchy and extra woe is me. And I don't know, this one that just hit me a couple days ago on Facebook was from Steve Lukather, who is the lead guitarist for Toto. Very world-renowned guitar player. I mean, actually, yep. his latest solo album, which came out earlier this year, is probably a contender for one of my top 10 albums of the year. It's really,
really?
Good. Yeah, it's really good.
Instrumental only?
No, not at all. And he just made a one-line post on his Facebook wall. And here's what it said. I'll read this exactly as he wrote it. Spotify founder Daniel Ek has earned £190 million in just 6 years. And we, artists, get nothing. Dog shit money. Pennies, if that. End of quote. And I just read that. And it wasn't so much of me coming from the music marketing, the music business side now. Now I was just looking at it as a fan going, I'm sick and tired of hearing my artists bitch. First of all, who are you to complain that this guy, Daniel Ek, is earning £190 million in just 6 years? Steve Lukather, how much money have you earned? How much money have you earned compared to your fans, compared to other artists? Don't be whining about somebody else making more money. Because God knows if somebody sat down and said, Steve Lukather, you're making a fortune. You should be giving your money. You should be giving your music away. What would the first thing you say is?
Yeah.
It's my choice to earn a living.
Well, and also, you know, if you were a fan of his, well, you are a fan, but I mean, what if you weren't in the business and you were just an honest fan who's been with him for 40 years or whatever, and you did buy his album and you did buy his previous album and you have continually over the years continued to buy his albums. He's basically saying, it doesn't matter what you've given me in the past or what you've even given me on this album. I want more.
Right.
It's like he's not showing any appreciation for what he has. And that's...
And it's clearly over-exaggeration on his part. We artists get nothing. Really? You're getting absolutely nothing? Nothing?
Which is
zero?
Untrue. I mean,
zero?
Obviously that's untrue.
Yeah, I mean, you and I know from the business side of things, it's not true. And we also know, and this is where then from me understanding the business a little bit sits here and goes, well, Mr. Lukather, Spotify doesn't pay you direct. They pay the record labels. And then the record labels dole the money out. Just like it's always been.
Yeah.
So, and was it a previous episode of Music Biz or was it on Rockstar Branding where we were talking about, maybe it didn't even come up. But I was like, that's like getting mad at Tower Records back in the 80s.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I remember using that analogy.
I mean, it's just stupid. You can't get mad at the end retailer because you're not making as big a cut as you want. Get mad at the person in the middle who's cutting it up.
Well, exactly. And that's the bigger issue here is regardless of what Spotify even pays the labels, if you are uncomfortable with a middleman perhaps taking a cut of your business, then you have every ability to release your own product on your own.
Yeah. But I bet Steve Lukather wants those advances.
And there's the rub.
I want the money. I, as the artist, want that money up front, but I also don't want to get paid nothing on the back end. Well, what do you want?
Yeah.
What do you want? You can't have it both ways anymore. It doesn't work like that.
I pulled up. Now this is a bit of a dated fact. So I don't know what the actual number is now. I would say this number that I'm about to say is probably 4 to 5 years old. But this puts it even into better perspective, in my opinion, because of it being that old. Only 3% of major label artists ever receive a check beyond their initial advance.
I would totally believe that.
3%. And that was, again, I'm thinking this is probably maybe 2007, 2008 fact. So, I would assume it's even less than 3% now. So I think the overarching theme here is, well, one of them is all the more reason to build a career on your own terms without having to wait for labels or people to work with. If you're concerned that someone's taking 50% of your cut, then don't give them 50% of your cut.
Right.
You can do it on your own. And for somebody who's been in the industry for 40 years, or whatever it's been, he could probably do quite well on his own. He can, just like Amanda Palmer, who raised $1.2 million.
Yeah.
He has the ability to do that on his own. If he were instead to use his creative energies instead of whining and bitching and complaining about woe was me, he could use that creative energy building and appreciating an audience of people that might want to put their money forward so that he does get an advance so that he can then own 100% of the masters outright and then hire people afterwards to help him. Because it is hard to do. I mean, you can't do it on your own, especially at somebody at that level, but he can easily hire you, me, other people, whatever. He can hire people that used to work for...
Hire? They'll want us to work for free.
Well, there's that too. So that's one part of the discussion. The other part is the continuing topic of just what digital music and subscription services are paying. Sorry, I had to have a sip of tea. So as you mentioned, actually, we're recording this on Wednesday prior to this being posted. And you mentioned that there is a great quote in the Lefsetz letter that came out this morning.
Yeah, let me
and I mean, I side with Lefsetz on many things, and like most people, I also disagree with him on many things. But this quote rings true. And one of the things that I really love about Lefsetz is the fact that he likes to deal in reality.
Yeah, he pulls no punches.
Well, rather than like living in the past or pondering about the future, he's like, this is what is. Yep. This is what we have to work with.
Yep. I love that about him. It's slap across the face reality you get from him. And a lot of people don't like being slapped across the face. They want to be hugged.
Yeah.
They want to be told it's going to be okay. You're going to be fine. Now, this was just two paragraphs out of a long letter, which was a really good read. But the two paragraphs went like this. Media cannot be limited to the album release date. It must be a 24/7, 365-day-a-year effort. Same with creativity. If your track gets traction, more power to you. If it doesn't, go back in the studio and make more. In other words, if you're sitting at home bitching that you're not making any money because the internet stole your business, you're right. There are so many diversions that no one's got time for mediocre anymore. They just want superior. I mean, nobody's arguing that the internet hasn't totally disrupted everything and taken money away and that artists deserve to get paid. But I think, as you and I have said so many times, it's just the reality. It's just what it is. And we can bitch and whine and all you want, but that's the way it is.
Well, what happens when something's disrupted, Michael? You have to innovate.
Yeah.
You have to rebuild. You have to find a new approach.
Modify.
You have to fucking change. And
adapt
that's the problem.
Adapt or die.
And most people that are complaining about the system, or Daniel Ek, or I'm not selling as many albums as I used to, they're not adapting. And I mean, what he's saying is the truth of the matter. But there's no sense. You whining on your Facebook post isn't going to help the reality of the fact that most people don't buy music anymore.
It's not, and as I started this whole thing, as I looked at this comment as a fan, it doesn't look good to your fans to see you being a whiny little bitch that you're not making enough money. I'm sorry, you deserve to make money for your creativity, but put yourself in the shoes of your fans who are sitting here going, oh my God, you're a rock star. I see you as a rock star. You travel the world. You play all over the place. And you're complaining you're not making enough money? Well, I'm working at McDonald's and I can't support my family. Or I've got a band and I can't even get enough money to go in the studio to record one song. You know, it doesn't look good. I'm just talking from a pure branding marketing standpoint. It doesn't look good for your fans to see you whine that you're not making enough money.
Well, absolutely. I mean, in this week's episode of the Rockstar Branding Podcast that we put out just 2 days ago, we talked about the concept of acting in a way to make your fans love you. Not just acting, but giving them a reason to love you. And it could be, I wrote a short little blog post to accompany the podcast, and I mentioned, you know, small gestures can have, well, I can't remember what my quote was, extravagant repercussions. Like one small little thing can go a long, 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 long way. And that goes for good and bad. My podcast this morning, I brought it up talking about this very tea that I'm drinking. here's a company who's doing something inconsequential and probably very small that most people wouldn't notice. But they do something that makes me continue to buy their product because, it, to me, I appreciate it. It's a it's a tea called Yogi. And for anybody watching, on the tea tag that dangles from the bag in your cup, they print a little bit of a quote. Probably can't see it. But every little tea bag has a different quote. And it, to me, it just, I mean, it's great tea, but it's just that little extra where
you
I look at it.
You look forward to that every time. What's the new quote?
Now, so now I'm sitting, because I'm a quote guy. Anybody that knows me, I'm all about quotes, right? So here I am drinking a cup of tea that I just poured, and it says, "Love is unchanging and limitless." What a great little vibe to have a cup of tea with. Anyway, all I'm saying is that those little things make me smile. They make me come back for more. And in the same way, negative things do the opposite.
Yeah.
They make you run away screaming and they make you think, oh, what a whiny little bitch. You know what? Yeah, I'm not going to pledge to your next campaign because all you want is money.
Here's a perfect example. Speaking of a pledge campaign, there was, and this is another example of how it was not presented in the right way. There was an Indiegogo campaign six months ago. I think I might have shown you this.
Oh,
okay. It was Sammy Hagar's son putting together sort of like a little mini super group. It was the sons of other rock stars. So it was Sammy Hagar's son. I think it was Neil Sean's from Journey. His son was in there. There's a couple other people. So it was sons. And they wanted to put together and record an EP. And they started an Indiegogo campaign because they needed to raise $100,000 to record a 4-song EP. Yeah, I was first of all like, you don't need $100,000 to do that. But second of all, it got picked up in the local San Francisco papers here of like, wait a second. Daddy's little boys are asking us to give you $100,000 to go in the studio. Why don't you ask Daddy for the money? Now, maybe they can't. Maybe they're living with Mom. It's a divorce, whatever. We don't know what's going on relationship-wise. But from just, again, the fans sit here and go, Sammy Hagar's son wants me to give him money so he can go record? What the hell? Sammy Hagar just sold his tequila company for $80 million. Yeah.
Well, the other thing that I sit on in Canada, there's a number of government grants that get doled out to bands through a government organization called Factor. And there's a limited pool of money that's available to help people record demos or record albums, a very limited pool, but it is there. And of course you have to put together a budget and a full on amazing package. And then it goes to three different panels of jurors, that sit through it and finally decide who gets the money. I've been on a number of these juries, and the reason why many bands don't end up getting the money is exactly why these four kids are probably not going to have their $100,000 pledge campaign achieved, is because their budget is ludicrous. So how the hell can a band that's never done anything ask for $100,000 to record four bloody songs? Come on.
Yeah.
$10,000, guys. $10,000 is fine. You know? It's ridiculous. So there's many times when projects just don't go through in Canada for a Factor because it's like, yeah, this band that has only played three shows is asking for whatever X amount of dollars to do. Like, it just doesn't make sense. So you have to have a foot at least somewhat planted in the pond of reality. Like, for fuck's sakes.
It is. And you just got to step back and look at what that reality looks like to other people. I mean, okay, maybe these four kids needed to raise some money. Maybe their budget wasn't in line. But you got to present it in such a way as to, why do you really need the money? Answer these questions right up front that every fan is going to say, why the fuck should I give you money? You better be prepared to convince me why you need this money. Steve Lukather, don't just sit here and bitch that you are getting nothing. Nothing? Really? Nothing? Again, nothing. Capital letters. He spelt nothing in capital letters to make a point that it's nothing.
Well, the other thing, you know, it to me, it just also shows where somebody's headspace is at, where they're really truly at as a person in life. If all that they can do is point at someone else going, that really successful person over there, that guy, he's making more money than me and I don't like it.
Yeah.
Okay. So what makes, like, why does somebody else's life, like, why does his bank account have anything to do with you? The bigger picture here is something that in terms of the money that these services are putting out. Let's face it. Anything that becomes any mode of distribution for the masses is going to get rich. Mm-hmm. Whether it be NBC or MGM or Warner Music or EMI or Spotify or RDO, if it becomes the de facto method of delivery and consumption for an entire society and culture, of course there's going to be money there. That's why he started it. He didn't start it as a fucking charity.
Right.
So yes, there is profit built into his model. Of course there is. Duh. Just as there was for the record entrepreneur who started the label that signed Toto.
Right.
Same thing. So the question, rather than why is Daniel Ek making so much money, I could care less about that. What I do care about, though, is something that is a much more, to me, a much more relevant discussion to be had in this conversation. That's something that Amanda Palmer raised in a post that was published on Digital Music News this week. And that quote is the following. One weird thing is that iTunes, Apple, Spotify, Google, whatever, all of the people who are profiting, including YouTube, who are profiting off of the artists from the small level to the huge levels, they aren't really feeding very much back into the creation of new content. Wouldn't it seem that the place that is making the lion's share of the profit should also actually be putting money back into the creation of content to make a healthy ecosystem? I think that's a very valid discussion.
No, it is. It's not, you know, I've always wondered why iTunes never became, well, I think I know why, but why iTunes never became a record label. Why didn't they sign and develop talent? Now, that's because the trademark use of Apple, the Beatles Apple Corporation, many, many years ago when Apple first started, basically said, Apple, you can't be in the music business.
Well, I think it also, it's at the, really at odds with where they are as a company.
It goes to Amanda's point of, my God, if Apple is the number one distributor of music in the world, why aren't they sitting here going, you know what, we're going to take this unknown artist that we put in an iPod commercial and we're going to sign them and distribute them?
Well, what I'm thinking of is even, I mean, that's one option, of course, that could be taken. But I'm thinking from these massive distribution models that are collecting oodles of money, why not create some type of way to give back to the very community that has given you the ability to exist in the first place? The content creators, the artists, the songwriters. What if they were to create a fund, an artist's fund that you could apply to and they could award funding to? Or what if there was some, you know, different sales targets where maybe if you achieved a certain amount of plays or downloads, maybe you could have an increased amount of profit based on your popularity, just as the old major label system has. I mean, once you hit a certain level, boom, you go to 12% to 14%.
But, you know, I think the problem there is the deals were not negotiated with the artists. the deals were negotiated with the representatives of the artist, right. i.e. the record labels. Well, so no, the record labels were not, let's be honest, the record labels were not negotiating on the best interests of the artist. They're negotiating on the best interests of themselves.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's to the signed artist, but there's millions of unsigned artists.
Well, no, I get that. But I guess what I'm saying is, you know, the licensing deals were never negotiated with any of the unsigned. It was just right. Like, here, we negotiated with the bulk of these signed ones. And, oh, whatever deal that was, everybody else gets it.
Yeah.
I so just nobody think, had a vote. Nobody even had a voice to begin with. That's part of the problem.
I mean, I'm just riffing here on the fly. I really haven't put too much thought in this, you guys. I just read this article this morning, and I thought, you know what? I don't think that's ever really been talked about. It's always like, it's always been like the artist. We don't make enough money, or people like Lukather going, that guy has too much in his bank account. Rather, I like this discussion of let's talk about it. How could these companies potentially give back through artist funds, certain grants that could be applied to, that would be open to anybody and everyone? Or perhaps there would even be like, I don't know. I'm just, it seems well,
I think what you've got here is what's being displayed is the difference between two schools of artists. Amanda Palmer, who is the new school, who is thinking outside of the box and asking these questions and willing to work with change and make change. And you've got Steve Lukather and the guy from Judas Priest and everybody else, Gene Simmons, who's Prince, everybody else who's always bitched about the internet world, who are in the old school business, who don't want to change, who are quite comfortable with, we like the model where you come and give me an advance for my record, you give me an advance for my tour, you give me an advance for my merchandising, and you recoup all of it, and I may see a few pennies on the back end, but I don't care because you gave me a boatload of money up front that I lived off of until the next record. And they, you know, even to Bob Lefsetz's article where those quotes came out of, it was all about, the album is dead. The concept of recording an album is dead. If you want to go in and record 10 songs to tell your story, great, but that's not what's the world is revolving around anymore. And these old school artists, that's, you know, in their mind, give me an advance. I go into the studio for 3 months. We have a 3-month setup. We have a 12-month album cycle. I tour to support it. We're done and rinse and repeat.
And 2 years later, maybe 3 years later, I might give you another record.
Right. That's what they want, as opposed to Amanda Palmer, who's sitting here going, I'm going to use Kickstarter and raise my money. I'm going to get an advance that's not recoupable.
Yeah, or you've got, for example, like Brian Ray, the guitarist for Paul McCartney, who his side band, the Bayonets, they're just recording and releasing one song at a time.
Yeah.
He's like, yeah, we're just doing that. And
so
this
So you got artists who just bitch because the world has changed on them. Just bitch. Offer no solutions. Just bitch. And then you've got artists who are like, the world has changed, but here's a possible solution. Here's a possible solution. Here's a question. Why not this?
Again, it's like we said, it's like adapt or die. And we are seeing, unfortunately, some older classic artists who are incredibly talented and have done great work in the past. Their careers are dying because they're unwilling to adapt to the reality of now.
Yeah.
And if you can let go of the gravy years,
it's not if, you have to. They're gone.
They're
over, dudes. They're gone.
But a lot of people are still clinging to that.
No, I know.
That very clinging is what is causing the anger and the frustration and the bitterness, and it's having repercussions all the way down their line of fans, which impacts their career. If you can just accept what is and just enjoy what you have and what you're doing now, then that also has repercussions down the whole stream of where your music will go and how the opportunities that arise and how you get treated. And it's Stephen, I'm going to drop his name because it'd be silly if I spoke a podcast without mentioning his name. Stephen Pressfield, the author, the last 3 Wednesdays, he's written a series of blog posts called Art and Money. I highly recommend you guys to read these. Art and Money, Part 1, Part 2, and Part 3. They're all on StephenPressfield.com. And they're brilliant. Because here's a guy who, I mean, he's had a lot of success in his life. But he doesn't base what he does today off of his past successes. Every day is, I have to create something awesome today. Because... Right. Creating something awesome today doesn't mean that I get to coast off of it for 40 years. What it does mean is that it enables me just another little bit of stretch of time to create another something awesome.
Right.
So somebody like Steve Lukather is, this album isn't giving me 2 years' salary. It's a failure. It's like,
I'm not going to create because I didn't get a big enough advance.
Yeah. Well, instead of like foregoing all of that and start creating for the sake of, I just want to get, just allow me the opportunity to get back into the studio to do another track. And I mean, the whole series of his posts goes much beyond that sentiment, but it's really great because I don't hear book authors or script writers complaining the way musicians have. And the publishing industry is possibly worse off than the music industry.
Yeah.
Because we don't have, you know, there is no Spotify. There's Kindle, of course. But I think that's a creative industry that seems to be adapting a lot more to the realities and rolling with the punches and just accepting it and moving on. And Stephen Pressfield's somebody who could easily be like a Lukather, but he's not. And instead, right. He's making it into a very inspiring, motivating tale for all creatives out there.
You know, I think at the end, what sort of rubs me the wrong way after Steve Lukather's comments and everybody else's over the past few months is again, completely as a fan, I'm just tired of hearing my musicians complain that their life sucks, that they're not making enough money. And you brought up the point early on. It's like, so wait a second. The records I've bought, the tours I've gone to, the T-shirts I've bought, all that money that went into your pocket to some extent, that's not enough. You need more. You want more. As a fan, I sort of sit back and want to go, fuck you. You know, fuck you. You see a comment like that, or he was a K.K. Downing from Judas Priest. Was he the one that said, you know, the internet has killed my creativity? Makes me want to go, fuck you. What do you mean? You don't want to be creative anymore because the internet exists? Yeah, I mean, this is nothing to do with the business, nothing to do with the payouts, the structures, the deals. Literally, as a fan, you sit back and after you hear artist after artist after artist whine, you just basically want to go take a hike. I'm done supporting you.
I don't, you know, I like the people that I follow, whether it be musicians or whatever industry, or even just people that aren't in an industry, the people that I look up to and that I want to support are the ones that are continually inspiring me.
Yeah.
And they don't even have to, they don't have to say anything. It can just be inspire me through your art, inspire me through your perspective, inspire me through the beauty in which you have morphed into a new reality for yourself. I think, you know, but in the same context, I don't want people to be fake. So if someone is feeling the frustration of an industry, that again is why I look to somebody like Amanda Palmer, who isn't just like going out there with anger. She's saying, okay, here's a problem, here's a potential solution, or at least here's a question, let's talk about it.
Right.
So at the base, they're both saying, well, yeah, there's not as much money in the music industry as there used to be. That's at the heart of each discussion.
Right.
So do you want to be the prick going, I'm not making enough money? Or do you want to be someone going, let's talk about this and maybe we can together find a solution?
And you know, and the other thing, which if you look at what Steve Lukather said, it reads exactly like an emotional outburst. Like he probably just got his royalty check from Spotify. From his label that broke down Spotify payments. And yeah. In there it said 20 million plays for Toto and here's your $82 or whatever it might work out to.
Yeah.
It reads completely like an emotional blow up.
Yeah.
And maybe that's the legitimate feeling, but maybe the best place to take that out is not on your Facebook page in front of all of your fans. Do you walk into a concert arena in front of a sold out crowd and start whining that you know, you're not making enough off of the tickets?
Yeah.
No, it's not the place to do it.
Yeah, I mean, and quite honestly, music fans don't want to be a part of this discussion. I mean, if you want, maybe, you know, whatever, take it to an industry forum if you want to have a discussion about it. But your Facebook page, that's for fans, dude.
Yeah,
that's for people
not,
that
not
love
for these
you.
Emotional outbursts. I mean, you've got to remember, we still come back to your fans, right or wrong, think you're a very rich rock star.
Yeah.
I mean, Greg Kinn, our co-host on Rockstar Branding, has made that comment a couple times. He's laughed. He's like, yeah, I'll meet fans who think, you know, I'm a rich millionaire. He's not a rich millionaire. I mean, he's got a house and he's doing okay, but he's not the rich rock star that people think.
Absolutely.
And Steve, you may not be that rich millionaire, but I'm just telling you, your fans think you are. And to hear you complain doesn't sit well.
Well, and not to beat a dead horse, my Facebook feed is filled with poor musicians. Poor musicians who have not had the opportunities or the people to support them. And they're happy doing what they're doing. These are people, like, there's a couple that I'm thinking of right now who have been doing it full time for 10, 15 years that no one would ever know their name if I were to mention it. But they're doing it full time. They're consistently putting out new music. They're consistently being creative. They're not whining. They will say, yep, had to get a day job today. Can't wait to get home to work on new songs for you guys.
Yeah.
I fucking love you. Are you kidding me? You're sacrificing yourself for your art? That is what it's about. What is your motivation for your art, for your music, for your creativity? This goes back to our KK Downing episode. If your motivation is art, I'm sorry, your art is tainted. There we go. Happy thoughts.
Happy thoughts. So the end takeaway, be careful what you bitch about and where you bitch.
Well, I think it's also, it's a rallying cry to be creative, to not just think that you have to follow the traditional album cycles of the past. If you want to create whatever, you think outside of the box, come up with something new, because that something new is exactly what the Wall Street Journal wants to put on their front page, going, look what this independent kid from Vancouver did. Wow. You, like, no one knew who Amanda Palmer was globally, and all of a sudden, you know, she's on the front page of every worldwide newspaper. It's
look over your shoulder.
You slut. What the God?
She just, as you were talking, she just rolled over.
Yeah, it's a tough one.
Stealing the show.
If I had a, if this wasn't attached to a 27-inch monitor, I would pick it up and take you all over there to see my dog. Although I could bring her over.
Would she let you carry her over?
She will. Hang on. I have to unplug my headphones.
Want to say hello to the internet?
So there's Coda.
Hi, Coda.
Hi, everybody.
She's not too sure what the hell's going on. She doesn't really like being picked up.
She looks like she's looks in like a nap.
I think she's still sleeping.
She's still sleepy.
Oh. Okay, I'll put you back. Here you go. She has her own leather couch.
All right, you guys. Thanks for tuning in.
We got to go find a song to play.
Oh, yeah. Let's go over to Music X-Ray. That's where we go every week to grab our featured song. And if you want your music heard on this podcast, you have to go over to our Dropbox. You know where that is, right?
MusicXray.com.
There you go. And if you go to
Either one of our websites, you'll find links to it.
Exactly. Okay, let's go find a track.
All right.
Okay, we're back, and we found a track quite quickly. Holy crap, this is one fiery piece of flamenco. I really dig this track. This is a band from Austin, Texas, by the name of Del Castillo. Hopefully I'm pronouncing that all right. The track that you're going to hear is Tony Montuno by Del Castillo, and you can find them at delcastillomusic.com. That would be delcastillomusic.com. And I hope you guys dig it. We do. And that's it. That's another episode. We're done.
Leave us some comments. Rate us on iTunes. Let us know what you think.
Absolutely. And 1 week from now, I will be speaking to a brand new daddy.
Ah, God, I hope so. Better be.
Yeah.
All right, everybody.
Thanks, everyone.
Thanks, everyone.
Here's Del Castillo.
Bye.
This podcast is brought to you by Music X-Ray, 21st Century A&R. Get deals, get fans, and get better. At Music X-Ray, it levels the playing field for musicians, giving you direct access not only to industry decision makers, but to fans too. Strike up a free account at musicxray.com and check it out for yourselves. And if you want your song to be included in podcasts like this, that's where you go to find these opportunities.